certifier's decision that the city is responsible for any additional costs for Ashwood and also its failure to address the city's counterclaims against RTG on the issues of the Alstom train design and sinkhole costs. The matter is before the courts, and no further comment can be made on the proceedings in keeping with the city's standard approach in litigated matters. Matters of a general nature, obviously, on LRT, we're happy to take those questions and comments, and Councillor Eglai is here because obviously today was a significant day in terms of the rollout of doses going down to age 18 plus and some of the challenges that we're facing as a result of that. And we'll hand it back to Keena. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I will now invite each agency in alphabetical order. You may ask one question with one follow-up. Nous allons maintenant répondre aux questions des médias qui pourront poser une question et une question de suivi. We'll now start with Joanne Chianello at CBC Ottawa.
Hi, thanks, Keena. Can you hear me? Because I'm using my phone, which I don't usually use.
Yes, we can.
Cool, thanks. So I'd like to talk about the confidential memo from last week. I was wondering why that memo had to be confidential. That lawsuit was filed in open court. By the time it was reported, it was actually had already been filed in court. It was a public document. Why make that confidential? Why not just wait like 12 hours and put it out, announce it like you did right now? You announced another lawsuit. Why did you make it secret and are going after whoever presumably sent it to the media?
Steve or David?
Mr. Kenilakos, you're muted.
So I thought I pressed the button, but it didn't click. David, we're getting used to that. You're on mute. David, do you want to start in terms of what was in that memo with respect to the confidentiality component that we talked about?
Certainly, Mr. City Manager. The memo that was distributed by our external counsel and staff outlined more than the mere fact of the filing of that. Public statement of claim, but it also it discussed the city's litigation strategy more generally with respect to these types of claims. And it contained solicitor client privileged information. And that is intended to stay between a lawyer and his or her client. And so hence the need for confidentiality with respect to that broader strategy that the city, through which the city would be addressing these matters.
And the reason that, Joanne, the reason that we sent a memo, the difference between today and then was that we wanted to give counsel notice that we were filing the statement of claim because May 11th was the deadline for us to be able to do that without losing our rights to file that claim. So we didn't have any committee meeting or any other avenue to notify counsel so that they would be aware of it before it became public document in the courts. Today, we were able to brief counsel in camera and tell them that up this morning, at the same time we were briefing them, that we actually filed the claim that the mayor opened his press conference with.
Okay. And my second one is actually on some updates on phase two of LRT. Saw a very nice video that, but I was wondering, you know, we have reported here at CBC that SNC-Lavalin was looking at, they had told the city that they are looking at least 116-day delay and that the city was going to investigate that and push back on that. And we heard that Michael Morgan was going to give us an update on that today, and I did not hear that. So I'm wondering where that is at and what you can tell us about that.
Well, let me offer the initial comment, and then Steve or Michael or anyone else you'd like to hear from can comment. The undertaking by staff was that they would be back to us as a council and committee by the fourth quarter of this year with the most precise and accurate completion date for stage two of LRT. We're also heartened by the president and CEO of SNC-Lavalin, clearly indicating in the Globe and Mail, as well as the Montreal Gazette, that the projects would be substantially completed in 2022. So that continues to be our goal, and we'll have a more precise month for you in the fourth quarter of this year as staff continue to work with both the contractors in the East-West and the North-South projects. Steve?
Mr. Mayor, there's nothing that I would add to that. That's exactly the viewpoint from staff.
But if SNC-Lavalin themselves, if the company themselves is indicating that they will be possibly later, why and we're reporting that, why can you not comment on that or what you think we stand right now? And I thought that Michael Morgan was going to come back in May and talk to us about that, a little bit more about that, because he was saying he thought back in March, he said it might be about 40 days late. They were going to go back and forth and come up with an update in May. So I'm just wondering why we can't figure out a little bit about what the companies are telling the city, even if that's not the final answer.
Well, they've indicated to us very clearly that they will have a much better sense of where they will land in 2022 by the end of this summer fall construction season, because as you know, more work gets done during the summer months than the winter and late fall months. And their indication is that we want to be able to have a more precise date of completion for North South, and then of course with the other company providing us more with a clear date of completion in the following years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on, we will go to Alex Gouge at City News.
Hello. My question is for Keith Eglai. Since 18 Plus was expanded, all of the appointments in Ottawa, they got swept up very quickly. Roughly what timeline until more appointments are released?
So you're right, Alex. We filled all the appointments by mid-morning. That was about 40,000 appointments that we filled. And as has been our practice since the beginning, we don't open windows of availability until we're certain that we have a supply of vaccine to back up those potential appointments. At this point, we're waiting to hear further from the province as to what those numbers will be, when we will be getting more vaccine and what quantities. As soon as we know that, then we'll open up more windows of availability.
And for my follow-up, Health Canada says Canadian residents are allowed to travel to the U.S. for a COVID vaccine and avoid quarantine on return, provided there's some exceptions. I just wanted your reaction on that.
Well, again, as I often say in these interviews, I'm not a doctor. So, what I would say is, that really is a question better for Dr. Etches to respond to. And I'll just leave it at that for now.
Can I just, Alex, just offer a comment on the first question you asked, Keith Eglai, with respect to going down to 18? That to us posed a significant problem because obviously we've been counting on intervals of 5 or 10 years. So we thought that we'd be going down to 30 plus for the vaccination. And then the province decided to bring it all the way down to 18, which as you can imagine, brings several hundred thousand more people province wide into the system without a corresponding increase in vaccination. So Councillor Eglai and I will be talking with provincial officials and telling them that we really do need to see a stepped up per capita share of doses to Ottawa, because it's really frustrating and unfair for people who are 18 plus to go in and excited about getting their doses, and then they're all gobbled up literally within the first hour or so. Thank you.
En français, s'il vous plaît, Monsieur le Maire, là-dessus.
Oui, certainement. Nous sommes déçus avec la situation que la province a annoncée il y a quelques jours de commencer le niveau à 18 ans et plus parce que nous n'avons pas une grande quantité de vaccins pour cette population. On pense que le âge commencera à 30 ans et plus. Et quand la province a annoncé 18 ans et plus, on n'avait pas beaucoup de vaccins pour une grande moitié de la population aujourd'hui. Alors, c'est beaucoup de frustration. Et ça, c'est la raison que Keith et moi avons parlé avec des élus à Queen's Park pour expliquer la situation ici à Ottawa.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much. Moving on, we will go to Ted Raymond at CTV Ottawa.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. My question is to start is for Mayor Watson. We had our team in Vanier today. We're talking to residents about this Porsche dealership project. A lot of them aren't opposed to the dealership itself, but to the grant that's being granted. They say the money could go towards fixing roads instead. What do you say in response to how this is rolling out and what involvement this grant, these taxpayer dollars have in this project?
Well, the reality is that it is not a grant in the traditional sense where something is given and nothing is returned. The reality is that this particular situation called a community improvement plan, which all of council voted for a little over a year ago for Montreal Roads.
I think I have to do the court case right now.
Sorry, I hear Joanne talking to her husband.
Thank you. Sorry. I just muted her.
Joanne. Sorry. Anyways, let me start over there, Ted. Sorry. The reality is that this is an investment to act as a magnet to attract business to an economically challenged neighborhood. So the CIP provides $2.9 million over a 10-year period, and the city receives $3.9 million. So you do the math, we're ahead by $1 million. Secondly, at the end of the CIP, what they're paying right now is $35,000 in property taxes. That jumps up to about $450,000 in property taxes, 1,100% increase in property taxes for investing in that particular area. So it is not some bailout for a fancy car company. It's injecting more money into the city coffers so we can provide greater social services, more affordable housing, better infrastructure, and take a lot that's generating right now $35,000 in property taxes and see that explode to $450,000 in property taxes. So it's a very good deal for taxpayers. It creates more jobs. It creates a gateway entrance on Montreal and Saint-Laurent. And it does not cost taxpayers a cent because all that money is recouped and then significantly more. Thank you.
Okay, and my follow-up is just kind of along those lines as well. Is there any indication, though, that this project and the increase in property taxes on that site, would that have gone ahead without this program?
No, the owner of the dealership said no, they were going to move to West Hunt Club Road as a result of this program that acts as a magnet to bring it into economically challenged neighborhoods. The company changed its plans and decided to expand their small operation on Saint-Laurent Montreal Road. So there was a lot of false information thinking that this was going to be some grand subsidy to a fancy car company. In fact, they're going to increase the number of people working by, I think, 30 or 40 people. They increased the taxes they pay to the city from $35,000 to $450,000. Any way you look at that from a mathematician's point of view, it's a really good deal for the taxpayers of Ottawa. We get a lot more out of it, plus we get more jobs, and we get a corner of the city that has been less than attractive, really revitalized. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now be going to Craig Lord at Global Ottawa.
Hi there. I think this would maybe just be a follow-up to what Ted was asking, but maybe Mayor Jim Watson, you can speak about this. One of the main aspects of the CIP program as it's laid out by the city is there has to be a cultural element to it and improve the cultural fabric of the community. Can you speak to how there would be a cultural, like an improvement to the streetscape, the livelihood and the vibrancy of Vanier with a dealership, especially when many residents are saying they don't need a dealership at all?
Yeah, Craig, those are only those applicants that are eligible up to 100% have to provide that, not the 75%, which this particular applicant is applying under. So it's those companies or stores or businesses that would apply for 100% as opposed to 75% of the funding that have to provide a cultural element. They will have the, just on their own accord without a requirement, they have offered to pay for the cycle track, I believe, along Saint-Laurent, Montreal, as well as a public art component to the building. But it's not required under the rules of 75% of the program. Thank you.
Thanks. And I'll pivot over to LRT for a second question. With the new litigation announced this morning or this afternoon, how are the city's coffers doing? I know we had to add about $15 million to the contingency fund earlier this year. Is this litigation expected? Were you gearing up for this, or are we taking on new lawsuits related to this?
No, this is part of why we needed the additional funding from the city, but I'll ask Steve or David White to further comment. But this was in anticipation, as our solicitor told us at the beginning of the presentation this morning. These kinds of things, these kinds of suits and countersuits, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, are par for the course. You get into multi-billion dollar contracts and you're going to have disputes between contractors, subcontractors, the customer, ourselves, and our taxpayers. And we have an excellent litigation team. And I'll ask Steve or David to offer any other comments above and beyond what I've said. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, we're prepared to deal with the legal costs. The $15 million was intended to help support that effort. But as you know, a claim like this and any counterclaims take time, and there'll be years before these things are settled, and they go slow. So we're okay for the time being in terms of the fees we have. So council has preemptively or proactively positioned us to be able to defend the city.
Thank you.
Nous allons maintenant passer à Julien Paquette à Le Droit.
Bonjour. Monsieur Watson, j'aimerais clarifier quelque chose que vous avez dit un peu plus tôt pendant la réunion tout à l'heure, quand monsieur le conseiller Loulof a voulu poser des questions sur l'avancement des travaux de la phase 2. Vous avez dit que, si j'ai bien compris, que vous croyez, vous aviez pensé à ce moment-là que toutes les questions avaient été répondues à huis clos. Est-ce que, donc, il y a eu des questions et des discussions à propos d'une présentation publique à huis clos aujourd'hui?
Non, c'est ma faute parce que je n'ai vu pas une levée d'une main sur cette situation, et Matt m'a envoyé un courrier électronique et j'ai dit je m'excuse, et il posait la question, et après ça, il y a 3-4 autres membres du conseil. Mais c'est ma faute parce qu'aucune personne a enlevé leur main sur Zoom.
OK. Et autre, ma deuxième question, ce serait également pour vous, c'est concernant le projet sur le chemin Montréal.
Oui.
Je comprends que bon, cet édifice-là, au bout de la ligne, va amener des revenus de taxes foncières plus importants que les édifices qui sont là sur le terrain actuellement. Mais j'ai de la difficulté à voir quelle est la différence au niveau des justement de ces revenus de taxes-là supplémentaires entre le concessionnaire sur Hunt Club et sur le chemin Montréal. Parce que vous dites que ça se fait à coût nul pour la ville, mais si les revenus étaient... Est-ce qu'il y a vraiment une différence entre les deux? Ou?
Oui, il n'y a pas un programme de CIP sur West Hunt Club Road. Il y a seulement une CIP à Bell's Corner, Saint-Joseph et maintenant la rue Montréal. Alors, il n'y a pas un programme pour la compagnie d'attirer l'appui.
Mais je comprends, mais la compagnie a dit on est prêt à s'installer sur West Hunt Club. Donc, quel est le
Well, la différence est que le programme offre une subvention pour les impôts, mais c'est un programme qui est meilleur pour la municipalité parce que le programme coûte la ville 2,9 millions de dollars, mais on recevoir 3,9 millions de dollars en impôts. Alors, c'est meilleur pour la municipalité, mais à la même temps, ça donnait la compagnie 10 ans d'appui pendant cette période. Et après ça, il va payer toutes les taxes, 450 000 par année. Et maintenant, avec leur terrain, là, je pense qu'il y a un petit édifice là, ils payent seulement 35 000 $ par année. Alors, ça, c'est vraiment... Et un bon programme pour la compagnie, mais c'est à la même temps, c'est un bon programme pour nous autres d'attirer un très grand édifice pour l'entrée de quartier Vanier.
Merci beaucoup. Nous allons maintenant passer. We will now go to John Willing at the Ottawa Citizen.
Hi, Kina. Thank you. Question is for, I don't know if it's for the mayor or Mr. McConey or Mr. Kanellakis, but the litigation, mayor, that you announced just a few minutes ago, I'm trying to unpack it. Are you saying that the independent certifier has ruled that the city should pay the $230 million that RTG is claiming related to the sinkhole? Is that what the certifier has ruled?
I'll ask David to comment on that, or Steve.
David, go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's not in fact the case. I mean, as you'll see in the statement of claim, because obviously that is a public document, that the scope of the issues really revolve around some nominal costs that the city may be required with respect to the substitution of Douglas fir in place of Ashwood, but also the independent certifiers, the fact that the independent certifier did not address some parts of the city's counterclaim. So you'll, as you say, it's not that the city was unsuccessful in that regard.
Thanks, Mr. White. Regarding the stage two progress, have there been any COVID-19 outbreaks on construction sites impacting the work or the work schedule?
Can I just offer a comment on that? Because I did have a briefing on the East-West, and I'll ask John or Michael to comment. But the East-West folks proudly indicated that they did not have one single COVID case. That was as of, I think our briefing was a week or so ago. I'm not familiar if that's the same situation in North-South. Michael or John?
We understand that there is no site-specific transmissions, that there was a few kind of times when they did stand down some crews just out of abundance of caution. But as of this point, I haven't been made aware that there's been an outbreak at one of the sites that caused transmission.
I can just as a little bit of an anecdote, John. I, as you know, I live a half a block away from the construction, so I feel the pain of my neighbors and the drilling and so on. But I've been actually very impressed with I think one exception. Anytime I've walked down along Byron on my way to Tim Hortons, I've seen everyone wear their mask in the trucks, on the graders. So I think they're taking it very seriously, because they were, along with other major transit construction projects, sent a lifeline by the province, and they were allowed to stay open during COVID. So I think they don't want to risk the province stepping in and saying, you know, smarten up. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Nous allons maintenant passer à Antoine Trépanier à Radio-Canada.
Oui, bonjour. J'aimerais, Monsieur le maire, que vous clarifiez votre déclaration concernant la poursuite dans le dossier du LRT. Peut-être le dire en français, puis clarifier un peu la démarche que vous entreprenez, s'il vous plaît.
Mayor Watson, you're on mute.
Oui, Antoine, c'est difficile pour moi de traduire ça en direct maintenant. On peut envoyer ça en français parce que j'ai reçu ça seulement en français, mais certainement aujourd'hui, nos avocats ont donné une annonce à la Cour supérieure ici à Ottawa. Et c'est un document public. Mais c'est pas possible pour nous autres, les élus ou les fonctionnaires, d'offrir plus de commentaires parce que c'est maintenant avant les cours. Mais on va envoyer la déclaration, c'est seulement de France.
Peut-être parce que je m'attendais à une mise à jour aujourd'hui assez exhaustive de la phase 2 et de la ligne Trillium aussi. Peut-être me dire où est-ce qu'on en est exactement. On s'attendait notamment par rapport au coût, par rapport à l'échéancier aussi. Ça semble avoir été discuté davantage en in camera. Où est-ce qu'on en est exactement, et est-ce que l'échéancier de 2022 va être respecté?
Ben, certainement. On continuait de travailler. Les deux compagnies, l'Est-Ouest et Nord-Sud, continuaient de travailler sur le projet. Il n'y a pas une réduction de service ou pas un arrêt de service pour le projet de train léger. Mais comme nos avocats a dit ce matin, il y a toujours des batailles entre les compagnies de construction et le client. Alors, ce n'est pas une situation différente ici. mais on, notre personnel a dit qu'on va avoir une mise en jour le dernier quart de 2021 avec une date plus spécifique pour la termination de construction pour Nord-Sud et l'Est-Ouest. Alors ça, c'est une réunion, ça sera une réunion très importante pour donner tout la population plus des détails qui concernent la fin de construction en 2022 pour Nord-Sud et 24 pour l'Est et 25 pour l'Ouest.
OK, mais juste pour clarifier, est-ce que la poursuite que vous annoncez aujourd'hui pourrait retarder finalement la délivrance du projet?
Ou? Non, absolument non. On va continuer, comme j'ai dit, la construction. Ça, c'est un processus dans l'administration entre les compagnies, la compagnie et la ville d'Ottawa. Mais on continuait de faire du bon progrès sur le train léger. Il n'y a pas un arrêt de construction, par exemple.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup. We will now be going to Sue Sharing at On the City from the Burbs. Sue, are you there? Okay, so that will conclude our media avail for today. Merci à tous pour votre temps. Thank you, everyone, for your time.
Sorry, I should just mention, la question d'Antoine, les activités dans le cours maintenant, c'est seulement pour l'étape 1, pas l'étape 2. So just to clarify, the actions that we filed today are dealing with stage 1 disputes, not stage 2. But as I said in French, it does not delay, obviously, any of the work on stage 2. We continue to make good progress, and there's no stoppage of work. They continue to construct east-west and north-south, and as indicated, our staff have undertaken to ensure that we get a full briefing on a more specific timeline that the project will be completed in the fourth quarter of this year with news for next year. Thank you. Good day, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.